Because today is our last Sunday in this series called Thread, and man, I have been so blessed by it and so convicted by it. Wow, isn't God awesome in worship? Amen. Can we give him just a big round of applause? Yeah. And I've had the privilege to meet Charlie, who's a incredible son of Tim and Nancy Walker, a part of the gathering here. And the more I get to be around you, man, bro, I just love you, man. I want to say that. And I thank you for being here today with us. I think about how we just sang about majesty, and Stephen prayed about that. And yet John wrote, and he said, you know what? We were eyewitnesses of that majesty. And I think as we come to know God in a personal way through Jesus, then we become eyewitnesses of his majesty. And that's really why we're here today. There's another John that I want to talk about for a second. John the Baptist. And he knew Jesus. He knew Jesus right when he was getting ready to step out and step into that public ministry. And that's why he said in John 1:29, he said, look, behold the Lamb. Look at the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sin of the world. And then that first church over in the book of Acts, the very first church launched, there was apostles teaching about the good news, about the gospel, and they were teaching about Jesus Christ who was buried, who was crucified and buried and risen again unto new life. And these were the same guys that after Jesus was crucified, most of them kind of cowered around and hid before the resurrection because they were afraid. But now they're standing up and they're saying Jesus Christ and Lord is Lord. And on that first Sunday, that first service that was launched, 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They became Christ followers in that first moment. Now listen, by the way, if you're like, you know, I don't want to be a part of a big church. I just like the small, intimate churches. Hey, you got to get over that. That first church, that first president, that first example that God gave us, they grew 3,000 people in one day. Now how would you like to be a part of that? That would be a hoot. Can I get an amen or a hoot or something? You dog fans, can I get a bark? Who knows? Whatever. Okay. Yeah, to know that you're out there. And then there was Philip. Philip was this evangelist. And man, he traveled around the south part of Jerusalem and was just teaching about God. And he ran into this Ethiopian dude, this Ethiopian eunuch. And an Ethiopian was reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip talked to him. And guess what? He became a Christ follower. He became a Christian. And then Simon Peter was like, okay, I got this figured out. All this gospel stuff is just a Jew thing. It's just for the Jewish people. But as he prayed, guess what? God convicted him and showed him that it wasn't just a Jewish thing. It was a people thing. And so he met this guy named Cornelius, who not only was a Roman centurion, he was actually a Gentile, somebody the Jewish people just didn't even want to be around. But guess what? He talked to Cornelius, and Cornelius became a Christian. He became a Christ follower. Now, and then his whole household followed suit and did the same thing. If I were to ask you, what do all those accounts have in common? And before you answer that, let me give you another question that will help you answer that. What does the following have in common? A largemouth bass. Where's Cameron? That's what I'm talking about right there, buddy. Yeah, a largemouth bass. How about, what else is up there? Starbucks coffee. What am I talking about there, man? How about a vanilla latte, decaf, with one shot of espresso, yeah? Huh? How about a jet ski? What do these things have in common? How about a scuba diver? How about a brand new Christian? What one ingredient does it take to make all these things work? Just add water. Just add water. That's the common thing with all these things. John the Baptist, he knew the first step that Jesus needed to take to begin that public ministry. And he saw Jesus coming out into that Jordan River. He said, Jesus, just add water. And Christ was baptized. That was his first thing that he did. And then that early church, when those 3,000 people came to know Christ, and they were brand new Christians, they looked at the apostles and they said, what do we do? We don't know what to do. And the apostles looked at him and said, just add, say it with me, water. Yeah, and then Philip, he's teaching this Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian's like, okay, I want to get baptized. What do I do? And he stopped that chariot of a racehorse he's got going on there, and he gets down out of it, and what do you think Philip told him? He said, just add water. And they went down the banks, and they got He got baptized. And then Simon Peter, he's there in this Gentile house. He's with this Roman centurion and his whole household. And they're going, Peter, we're Christians now. What do we do? What did Peter tell them? Just add water. That's what he told them. And when you see this going on, what does it say? It says that, yeah, you know, baptism is a big deal. And it was going on big time then. And it became really a big deal. It's an important thing. And what I want to give you today, as we close out this series, as we talk about this thread of Jesus Christ that is woven through our lives as we come to know him, is I want to give you four words that I think are really important and huge in this area. The first word, you know, I'm going to get your notes out of your worship guide just so you can follow along better. I might tend to move a little quick sometimes, but get those out. You can write in, fill in these blanks. This first one is obedience. Obedience, man, obedience is absolutely huge. When people ask me, they say, Randy, you know, this Christian life, sometimes I think it's really complicated. Can you just sum it up for me? Can you just simplify it for me? Well, I can. In one word, the Christian life is obedience. In one word, that really sums up the Christian life in our life and your life and my life. Obedience. Jesus says what? He says, do this. And we do it. He says, do that. And we do it. And he says, act this way in your marriage. You know, act this way in when you're parenting. Act this way in your sexuality. Act this way in the things that you let in your body. And that's obedience when we do it. And that's when we really start making sense of this thing called life. The Christian life is obedience. In fact, and I love this statement, it's a decision followed by a process. And that's life. And that's life with obedience. And the process we get to choose, I guess, in some sense of how well that goes. The Lord tells us, in fact, Jesus commands us to be baptized. It's really something he says to do. And by obedience, he wants us to go public with it, to go on record. After we make a faith decision, after we put our trust in Jesus Christ, and some of you have done that through this series right here on Thread. Can I get just a shout over that? Amen? Yeah? And that's an awesome thing. In fact, what we started doing, even last Sunday, somebody got connected with Jesus Christ. We put a white ribbon over on that cross to let y'all know that somebody got connected with God. Yeah, it's a celebration time. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. But that's this obedience thing. And so Jesus says, when you come to know Christ, just add water. Just add water, and that makes it go. Many of you may have stepped over the line into salvation with Christ. Many of you may have stepped in and made that faith decision. The question I want to ask you, have you gone public with it? You know, have you gone public in that realm? Have you obeyed Christ's words and entered into the waters of New Testament baptism? It's amazing to me that a lot of people will say, you know what? I'm really trusting God for my eternity. I'm trusting God for my future and my family. I'm trusting God and all that stuff. But yeah, and they'll say, but you know what? I'm not into that obedience stuff. I'm not into that baptism stuff. And the thing is, obedience is huge. And the awesome thing about it is when we do it, God will always, always, always bless it. Another word is identification. Identification. This is an incredible word that really describes this whole thing about baptism. When we get baptized, it's simply saying we are identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. And very specifically, when we go under the water, we're identifying with the burial and the death of Jesus Christ. When we come out of the water, we're identifying with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're saying, I'm on God's team. And it's a public identification. It's a public declaration. I don't know how many of you know Jason Lewis. He's a part of the gathering here. And if you haven't picked up on it, and I don't know how you couldn't pick up on it, Jason Lewis is a devout Florida State Seminole fan. I'm telling you, the boy's blood is garnet and gold, I promise you, okay? And just suppose that Jason was to say one day, you know what, I love the Seminoles. I absolutely love the Seminoles. Man, they're the best. But I don't like to go watch them play. Man, that Drew Weatherford, I don't like him at all. Bobby Bowden, he makes me sick. I love the Seminoles, but I really don't want to have much to do with them. Well, man, especially if you're a Seminole fan, what would you be saying? What is up with you, dude? Where is your head? What are you smoking? Something's wrong with you, man. I mean, there's something going on in your life here that's not right. You know what? Don't we do the same thing a lot? We say, man, I love Jesus. I love God. I love him. But you know, that going to church stuff, I'm not too fond of that. You know, that obedience stuff, man, I'm not serving on a team in a church, man, I'm not into that. You know, I love God, but I'm not into that. I really, you know, that baptism thing, no, I'm not into that. I don't want to wear Christianity on my sleeve. But you know, that's wrong. We are to wear Christianity on our sleeve. No, we don't run around with a 10-pound Bible and beat people over the head with it and tell them they're going to bust hell wide open. But we wear Jesus. That's what we've been talking about this whole 6 weeks of being clothed in Christ, so that when people see us, they go, I know who you're wearing. And you know what? When we're wearing him the way he designed us to wear him, people are drawn to that. They're drawn to that. And then we're walking in that light, and we're walking that way. Man, it's time to step up. It's time to step out. It's time to say, I'm going public with my faith. And because in the Bible, when you professed faith in Christ, you went public. In the Bible, you made a faith profession, but then you went into the waters and you identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ when you're baptized. We're showing people, we're showing the world that we're on Christ's team. Here's another word. It's washed or washing. That's an important word. When we get baptized, we're symbolizing this, which is so, this is incredible to me. Do you know at the moment you get connected with Jesus Christ, at the moment you give up and you say, God, I'm tired of going off the cliff. I'm tired of making a mess of it my own way. Did you know at the moment you say, I surrender, you come into my life and you take over, your sins are washed. The Bible says they're forgotten. The Bible says that God casts them as far as the east is away from the west. They're washed away. So when we get baptized, we get washed. And I don't know about you, but I want to be washed from head to toe. And that's why we go under the water, to symbolize that washing, to symbolize that cleansing of our sins, that Christ has already done the work. Here's another word that you may not think normally when you think about this baptism thing. Judgment. 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 Did you realize that water and judgment go together? Think about Noah. Some of you may remember that story and how the world and the culture had gotten so filthy and so sin-ridden and filled that God just sent a flood to wash it, to cleanse the whole earth. And those were waters of judgment. And he spared Noah and his family because they were righteous and they sought to please him and walk in obedience. You know, when you think about this water judgment, what about when the army was chasing the Israelites when they had left the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and the Israelites walked across on dry land, but when the Egyptian army went in there, the whole Red Sea closed in and the waters of judgment came over them and drowned them and they were gone. What about Jonah? Anybody know the story of Jonah? Jonah, the guy that ran away from God, and he got on this boat, and the big storm came, and the shipmates found out that the storm was his fault. What do you think they did? Don't worry, Jonah, we got your back. That's not what they did. They pitched him over the side. Man, he went right in the water, the waters of judgment. The Bible tells us this big old fish swallowed him up, and 3 days later, he barfed him up on the land. Hope you don't have a weak stomach there. But he barfed him up on the land. By the way, that whole picture is a beautiful picture of Jesus dying and raising on 3 days later. But that's waters of judgment. And you see how water and judgment just go together. When you're baptized, when I was baptized, it was a picture of identification. It was a picture of obedience. It was a picture of being washed of our sin. And it's a picture of passing through judgment, passing through those waters of judgment. Because, man, we can't stand under the water very long, can we? Anybody? How long can you stay there? You can't stay there long. We pass through the waters of death and judgment because our mediator, Jesus Christ, because of what he's done. We pass through that into life because of a conscious decision to trust Jesus with our life. When we make that faith decision, we need to step up. We need to step out. Jesus says we need to go on record. We need to go public with this thing. We need to say, hey, just add water. Make this all complete. Whenever I talk about baptism and ever get on the subject with others, there's always questions that come up. And I'm sure some of you right now just have a bunch of questions. And what I'd like to do, I've just kind of compiled these questions into five that I just want to kind of cover. And I want to encourage you, if you've got any other questions about it, man, you could grab me and talk to me. But let's get into some of these questions this morning before we finish up on this. First one is called the baby question. The baby question is always a real important one because of our culture and how we baptize in so many different ways. My dad was baptized as an infant. He belonged to the Roman Catholic Church growing up. And he got sprinkled in that process as an infant. And some of you sitting here right now may have experienced that kind of baptism. I want to show you, or I want to read to you here, what the Bible says about infant baptism, okay? Give me just a second. I need to find it here. I just want to share with you what the Bible says about infant baptism. Nothing. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And I don't mean to poke fun at that, but there's nothing there, okay? Just like so many other things that we do that aren't here, you know? And I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying that your baptism didn't take if you experienced infant baptism. I'm not saying that at all. Because have you ever been to one? Anybody ever been to an infant baptism? It's a beautiful thing, especially for the parents, especially in that whole process. It's an awesome, beautiful thing. But here's the deal. That precious baby, no matter how good they are, they have absolutely no understanding of their separation from God. They absolutely cannot in any way comprehend that God had to send his only son, Jesus Christ, to come down to this earth and substitute for them in the penalty, paying the price on the cross for their sin. They can't figure that out. They have no clue over that. Just as good and as sweet as they may be, especially when they're sleeping, they don't understand that God, through Jesus Christ, secured a victory for them over death, hell, and the grave. When we have a question at the gathering, and it really pertains to matters like this of great importance, we don't say, well, what do people say? What does the culture say? We don't say, man, what a denomination say. You know, we don't go there. We say, what does the Bible say? What does the B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. What does the Bible say? What does it say? The Bible is our authority. In fact, let me correct that. The Bible is our only authority. Man, we're not looking to hear from a word from Melbourne, Australia, or Manhattan, or even Atlanta. We believe in the Bible, and that's where we get our truths from, and that's where we stand in all of these things. When we started this church, and God started this church last year, we began meeting in Tony and Cindy Lewis's home, and about 30 people, and God began to move. We had borrowed computer. I mean, we had a little borrowed guitar amp, and we had some of this other stuff, and that's how we started out. But you know what? This thing called baptism came up. And so we said, well, let's look in the Bible. Let's see what God's Word says. And somebody said, well, how are you going to baptize? How are you going to do it? Well, what does the Bible say? There's no record of infant baptism in the Bible. There's just no account of that. But if you go to Matthew 19, you know what you'll see? You'll see that Jesus was passionate about kids. In fact, Jesus loved children. And that's why we're passionate about kids. Right down that hall, there's some incredible people teaching an incredible truth about God's Word so that your kids can begin to live life to the fullest now because we're passionate about kids here. Jesus loved the kids, and Jesus blessed children, but he never baptized little children. And he never instructed anyone to baptize little children. Every single baptism in the Bible that's recorded always happened after someone came to the understanding of their need for Jesus Christ in their life and they made a faith decision. And then they were baptized. They entered that word. First, important principle. First, you have to make a faith decision to trust Christ with your life, and then that's baptism. Does anybody know when Mother's Day is? Oh, guys, you better get a clue quick here, man. 2 weeks. Isn't it 2 weeks? It's like May 11th. We're going to do a really special thing here on Mother's Day. It's kind of our first one to really do this, and as we just launched last August, about 8 months old here, and we're going to do it every year. We're not going to baptize infants, But we're going to have a special parent family dedication service. And man, it's going to be awesome. And if you haven't signed up for that and you've got small children that you want to dedicate in that way, you need to call the office and or put on your connection card today, sign up for that. Because we're going to have a special time to do that. And what's that going to involve? That's going to involve the parents making a public statement and saying, you know what, we're going to bust it. We're going to do everything we can do to give our kids, from the time they're a small baby on up, the best opportunity to connect with Jesus Christ so that they can get a grip on this thing called life. Man, we're going to be there to support them. We're going to plant them in a local church so they can be exposed to values and principles of life and godly things so that they can go that way that's going to bring them the most fulfillment in this life. That's a parent dedication service, and that a child dedication. That's in two weeks we're going to do that. And parents are all over that, and we're all over that because it's a good thing to do. Wait until the kids are old enough to understand their need for Christ. And then as they make that faith decision, then we baptize them. One of our precious little 8-year-olds is getting baptized this morning. I know nobody noticed the pool when you came in, right? Anybody see the pool out there? Anybody? Anybody want to jump in it? Huh? Come on, yeah, man, all right. I mean, the weather's warm, but that water's a little cool. And when people get in there, you might hear, oh! You might hear some stuff like that, but that's okay. That's just, you know, that's just God's spirit really getting a hold of them when they get in the water there, okay? All right. No, we're gonna baptize. And Lily Horton's this daughter, 8-year-old daughter of Kay and Kirby, and she made a decision to trust Christ. But you know what they did? They said, Randy, we just want to sit down and want you to talk with Lily. And I got to talk with Lily. Lily understands. She knows what she did. She knows her need for Jesus. And I'm thinking, wow, at 8 years old, what a great start. And so now she's going to follow through in baptism. That's the biblical example. So I want to challenge you today. And there's no pressure. Man, there's no pressure. But I want to challenge you because it's such a special thing. If you went through infant baptism, you know, if you were sprinkled or had the water poured or whatever as an infant, and since then you've made a faith decision to trust Christ, I want to encourage you to be rebaptized. To walk in obedience and be rebaptized. You won't be sorry you did. I've baptized a lot of people. Never lost one yet. It's been good. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? I've seen people come that really wanted to be rebaptized because of that or some other things and some incredible stories I could tell you. But not one of them came up out of that water and came out of that pool, pond, river, baptistry or whatever and said, you know, I wish I hadn't done that. Not one. Because it is such a neat thing. Here's another question. I could talk about that one all day, but it's called the Clorox question. The Clorox question. Is baptism like spiritual Clorox? I mean, does that water have some kind of supersonic and amazing powers and ingredients that when you get in it, whammo, all your sins are gone, you're perfect for life? Boy, if it did, I'd be dunking a lot of people whether they liked it or not, okay? I would. And you would too. Don't be laughing at me. You would too. You know, but sometimes we think that, and sometimes, you know, there's some stuff that people think you have to do that. I like to ask people, man, tell me when you met Jesus. Just tell me when that happened. A lot of times I get a response like, well, you know, I was baptized when I was 12. Okay. And somebody says, well, I was baptized. I'm like, okay, that's great. I'm glad that you're baptized. But tell me when you met Jesus. Because you see, baptism, that doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't give you that relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk in a few minutes as we close out what it does do. But man, it doesn't make someone a Christian any more than if I were to walk into Whataburger and become a French fry. Okay? Baptism doesn't make you a believer in Christ any more than I walked into one of my favorite restaurants, Sonny's, and became a big deal. Although sometimes they do make you feel like a big deal. Okay? Put in a plug there for my real, real close friends there. But it doesn't. Baptism doesn't make you a Christian. It's not going to happen. If it did, man, if we could have some kind of amazing baptismal technology that could just baptize us a million, gillion, gazillion times during the day, maybe that would keep... No, we still end up in hell. That's not going to do it. That doesn't do it. And if you're wondering, well, how do I know that? It's not coming from me. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, or you can follow along on the screen, there's a verse that tells us. It tells us very plainly. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament, and it's chapter 2, and we begin reading in verse 8. This is what brings you into relationship with Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith plus infant baptism. No, don't say that. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith plus getting baptized in the Catholic Church. No, it doesn't say that. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith plus getting baptized in the Baptist Church. That's what I'm talking about. No. It doesn't say that. What does it say? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's it. That's what brings us into that relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man boast. It's by grace that you've been saved. Amen. Baptism does not make you a Christian. It's a symbol. It's a sign. But it is packed with spiritual significance. And it does bring blessing because of our obedience to walk through it. Doesn't make you a follower of Christ, but it's the first obedient test. I liken it to when your baby first begins to take that first step. How many have just seen that recently? Anybody? Or maybe in the last year or so? Some of you are thinking, well, I wish they weren't running around anymore right now, okay? But when that baby takes that first step, that's what baptism is. It's that first step of faith. It's that first step of obedience. And God just does something within our spirits to strengthen us and bless us in that. It's going public. It's identifying with Christ. It's being obedient. It's passing through those waters of judgment. It's showing that your sins have been washed and cleansed and cleaned. It doesn't make you a Christian. That's the Clorox question. How many people here know an attorney or lawyer? Hold them up. Hold them up high if you know somebody personally, okay? Some of you may not want to admit that, okay? I don't know. It's all right. It's okay. Any attorneys in here today so I can know my boundaries of what I'm going to say? No, okay, I'm just kidding. Some of my best friends are attorneys. Man, I have a couple here in town that I deeply love. But you know, they just have a way of asking you these questions. Man, you want an accountability partner, get an attorney, okay? I'm talking about accountability there, son. Serious. But they're asking these questions like you know, they might say, like, okay, Randy, now, technically speaking, do you know for absolutely certain that baptism is not required to get you to heaven? I mean, can you prove beyond any reasonable doubt that that's true? Well, I think I can. Jesus was crucified. And as he hung on that cross, there was a thief on one side and a thief on the other being crucified beside him. One of them mocked him and really ridiculed him. The other one acknowledged that he was Christ, that he was the Messiah, and just said, remember me this day. You know what Jesus said to him? Whoo, dude, jump down off that cross and go get baptized and we'll talk. That's not what he said. He said, today you will be with me forever. So technically speaking, you don't have to be baptized to have the opportunity to spend forever with Jesus Christ. You don't have to do that. But I always wonder about the motivation of that question. Why? Why do we ask that question? Why is it? Why do we do that? Because if we really understand what Jesus Christ did on that cross, when we really understand the flow of grace and the mercy to give us something that none of us deserve, and you don't deserve, and I don't deserve, and to die like that and to do all that, man, we should want to get in those waters. We should want to say, hey, I'm on God's team. I want to identify and I want to do it His way. We should want to do that. We should humble ourselves and want to show others. Here's another question. We call it the H2O question. Because a lot of people ask about the water. Well, there's this amount of water and all this kind of stuff. Mark 1:5 says this. It says, Jesus was baptized with a little bit of the Jordan River. They don't say that. Well, Jesus was baptized alongside the Jordan River. It didn't say that. What does it say? Help me out. Jesus was baptized in. And you know what the Greek word for in means? In. It means totally in. It means all the way in. That's what it means. Got you there, didn't it? But it does, okay? What about Mark 1:10? Mark 1:10 says this. Jesus was coming up beside the Jordan River. No. What does it say? Excuse me? Say a little louder there. He was coming out of the water. And you know what the word out means? It means out. It means coming out of the water. And it says plainly that Jesus, man, he was dunked. He was swooshed. He was under the water and out of the water. You have to go in the water, under the water, to come out of the water. And this is what the Bible means. In fact, that word baptize, it means, it's from the word baptizo. You don't get a lot of those little Greek things, so enjoy the moment here this morning. Baptizo, and it literally means to dip. It literally means to be submerged. Anybody ever pickled a cucumber? You ever put it in a jar? Did you just put half of it in the jar? I don't think so. You put all of it in there. It's being immersed. And when the Bible says baptism, that's what it means. It means to be immersed. And that's the best picture of the church history, real quick. And maybe many of you didn't know this. It was really interesting. The first 1,300 years of the church history, man, immersion was, it was universally accepted as the mode of baptism. And somebody was saying, well, where did sprinkling come from? All honesty, there was a period of time where water became scarce and there was a shortage of water. So the practice of sprinkling began to conserve water and then really took hold. But the biblical mandate, the biblical method has never changed. And it's always been immersion. And that's why we do that. It's the best picture of a burial. It's the best picture of being buried with Christ and our sins being buried. Man, if I wanted to bury my Bible, which I don't, I wouldn't go out there and just grab a big clump of dirt and throw it on top of it. Man, I'd dig me a big old honking hole. And I would put it down in it and I would cover it up. That's a burial. And that's the symbolism of what it is to be. We're buried. The old life has died. The sin and the junk, it's gone. And we're symbolizing that. The death, burial, and then the resurrection of Jesus. Now I'm going to live a new life. Now I'm going to walk in newness of life. That's the H2O question. And that's why we baptize that way. Because the Bible says it. One more question, and we're done. It's called the mechanics question. It's the mechanics question. What really happens, Randy? If you don't sprinkle and you don't pour, well then, how does that work? I mean, tell me about it. I love this verse. Turn over with me to the book of Galatians. Or you can, again, follow on the screen. But Galatians chapter 3. And this incredible verse, actually, the verse that I have for you is verse 27, but I want to read 26 for you. This is what the Bible says. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now don't confuse baptized there with the water, because what God is saying here is that when you receive Christ by faith, the blood that Jesus shed, the righteousness that Jesus exhibited, the purity of who he is and always has been, covers you. You're immersed in it, and that's a good thing. That when God now looks at me, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see my sinful nature that still tries to rise up. But it says you have clothed yourself in Christ. That's the thread. That's the thread. That's why we've worn the thread for 6 weeks. And some of you, it's looking pretty tattered, isn't it? But we've worn it for 6 weeks because that's the thread. Jesus is woven in the very fabric and the framework of everything that we are and everything that we're involved in, who we are. Man, when I was baptized years ago, I was soaking wet from head to toe when I came out of that pool. I was soaking wet. And that covering, it was like a microcosm. It was a symbolism of my life because I've been clothed. I've put on Christ and I had done that. I've been washed. My sins were gone and cleansed from me. And I've been covered in Jesus Christ. That's how I should live my life. I should have this fashion sense, this fashion for God's passion. That was our definition for worship in this series. How do I know if I'm clothed in Christ? How do I know if I'm at that point? Well, we talked about this a couple of weeks. Look in the mirror. And what's the mirror? The mirror is the Bible. We look in the mirror and we see how we're looking and how we're wearing Jesus Christ in our lives. And what does the Bible tell me? The Bible tells me that after I become a Christian, after I put my faith and trust in Christ, I am to be baptized. That's what it says. So I'm going to encourage you. Don't hesitate with that. Don't struggle with that. Just jump in and get dunked. Jump in and get immersed. Jump in and get baptized just like Jesus did. Just add water. You know what we're going to do today? Anybody got a guess? If you haven't got it by now, we have a special room down the hall. We want to meet with you, okay? We're going to baptize. In just a few moments, we're going to baptize. And we might all be singing soprano at a very high pitch, but we're going to baptize. We're going to do that. And the reason we're going to do that, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, I kind of alluded to that before, 3,000 people who came to know Christ, they were baptized that day. When were they baptized? That day. That day they were baptized. So at the gathering church, we're going to baptize that day. In just a couple of moments, people are going to be baptized. And it's going to be an incredible, defining moment in their lives. It's going to be an awesome time, a time of celebration. And I want to tell you, the water's clean. Thomasville's finest fire department, praise God for the fire department, or we'd be baptizing in about 12 inches of water right now. That would have been fun to see, getting immersed in 12 inches of water. Although somebody told me they've never seen anybody 2 foot thick, so we might have done 24 inches. I don't know. But it's going to be a special time. And I just want to show you, the mechanics question is, you know, how do you do it? I mean, how does it work? And I'm just going to, Justin, I'm going to put you on the spot, man. Come on up here. This is my buddy Justin, an incredible, awesome bass player who loves Jesus. Can everybody give God a hand for Justin? Yeah, yeah. I like that. No, I'm not going to do that. That's not enough water to baptize you, man, okay? But how do we do that? When we bring somebody into baptism, it's very simple. You know, Justin has professed faith in Christ. So he walks out in the pool and he stands in front of me. Well, let's do it this way. Stand like that, and I'll be standing over here, and I'll say, man, I'm going to baptize you, my brother in Christ. Now, you hear that word brother. Don't get all wigged out on that and think about stuff, because there's a reason we do that. Because here's the deal. When you become a Christ follower, man, God just supernaturally adopts you into his family. And don't be afraid of that word adoption, because in biblical times, in the meaning of this scripture, when someone was adopted, it could never be renounced. It could never be taken away. They were forever, eternally adopted. A birth child could be renounced. A birth child could be denounced, but not an adopted child. So we're all adopted into the kingdom. And now Justin's last name is no longer Quig. It's Christian. He's Justin Christian. Christian, say that 10 times fast. Okay, and my last name is not Fields, it's Randy Christian. So guess what? We're brothers, because we got the same heavenly Father. And if you have professed faith in Christ, you're my brother or my sister. So we say, I baptize you, my brother in Christ. And we'll say, bear with him in baptism, risen, walking in his life. We'll say some of those in a minute, I'll tell you. But we say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And why would we say that? I mean, why would we say that? Because Scripture says, Jesus said it in Matthew 28, verse 19, therefore go you into all the nations, making disciples and baptizing them. See, there's that word again. In the name of what? Say it with me. Of the Father and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah, so I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what I just ask them to do, man, take that left hand and grab your nose, because it's not good to get a whole nose full of water because you're going under, man. You're going down, okay? All right, and depending on how good you've been this week determines how long you stay down. No, that's not true. That's not true. So you hold your nose, I grab him, and I put my hand on his back, and he may want to grab my other arm with his arm, and I'll say, man, I'm buried with him in baptism, and all you got to do is bend your knees. Don't go all the way down, though, because I will drop you without the water. You bend your knees and sit down, and you go. He goes under the water, buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Now, all Justin hears is this. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. That's all he hears. Man, thank you. Thank you. But that's it. That's how we baptize, and God has given that, because in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remember we talked about that last week, it's a Trinity thing. It's body, it's soul, it's mind. That's who we are. That's who God, our spirit. That's who God has made us to be, body, soul, and spirit. Isn't that cool? I mean, and even in Jesus is baptized, you see those parts of the spirit. Jesus went into the water, and he was baptized. He was submerged by John the Baptist, and brought back up, and the Father spoke. He said, "This is my Son, who is the Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then the Bible says a dove came down from heaven, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. We even see the Trinity there. That's why we say that, and that's why we do that. I don't want you, but I want all of God. I want all of God. And anything that's in the way, keeping me from having all of God, I want all of God. I mean, I've tried to make sense out of this life. I've tried to get a hold of some stuff, and I can't do it. But when I trust Him, and I walk with Him, then it begins to make sense. And it begins to be fulfilled in that. Man, it's a joyful time. Let me tell you. And people, when we go out there in just a minute, people are going to cheer. It's going to be an awesome time in just a few moments. But I got to tell you, it's impossible to get the full blessing of God in your life without being baptized. God wants to bless. But this is what He says to do. He says, just add water. It's about obedience. And when you choose to walk in obedience and baptism, you choose to take that first step, that first knowledge, that first point of faith, and God blesses it. He wants to bless us. He's an awesome God. And what's blessing? That's being on the receiving end of God's favor in both the tangible and the intangible things of His favor and His success. That's what blessing really means. So man, don't ever look at baptism in a casual or flippant manner. It is a big deal. It is important. And it's an awesome thing. You know, baptism doesn't just happen. It doesn't just pop up and occur. Last year we had a baptism at the YMCA, and man, that was awesome. We showed the video last week and all. But you know, some of you out there invited some of those folks here that got baptized last year. That's how it happened. Some of you even sitting here today, and some of you that knew them had a part in that because you were living the life and you were wearing Christ and you showed Jesus in the way you lived. And because of that, there was trust gained, and you invited, and they came. And they came to know Christ, and they professed Christ. They got baptized. What a celebration it was. And I get real pumped about that because you have a part in that, and we all have a part in that. And you know what that is? Really, that's a sign of spiritual maturity. What happens when we go through physical maturity? We begin to grow, and we go through that thing called puberty, and we go through all that stuff, and we grow up, and then we get married, and we have children. We're able to do what? We're able to reproduce, and reproduction is a sign of physical maturity. You know what a sign of spiritual maturity is? Reproducing. So think about this, and I say this to myself today, not just you, but me too. When's the last time that we had a part in seeing someone make a faith decision for Christ? When's the last time did you personally, or me personally, have a part in displaying Jesus to somebody so that they could get connected and then walk through this thing called baptism? Man, I want to challenge you to do that. It's a little thing called invest and invite, and we talk about that a lot. We're going to baptize today. And the reason we're going to do it is because the Bible says after you make a faith decision in Jesus Christ, you should be baptized. That's why we're going to do it. And Jesus said, just add water. Here's my question. Have you been baptized? Have you been submerged? Have you been biblically immersed in the waters as a step of obedience after making a faith decision in Jesus Christ? If you've made a faith decision in Jesus, if you've trusted in Him with your life and said, I'm yours, God, whatever you want, and you've never been baptized before, I'm just going to throw this out. I know this is spontaneous, but you can get baptized today. Now, I know you're going to say, well, I didn't come dressed. I kind of dressed down, but I'm going to jump in the pool just like this, take my shoes off, maybe this belt, it costs money, but I'm going to get in the pool. We got t-shirts out there you can put on. You can take your shoes off and socks or whatever. you feel prompted today because they got baptized that day, I want you to know we're prepared for you to follow us out there and climb in that pool with me and get baptized. You'll never be the same. I guarantee you. I wasn't. There's just something that God does. And in a moment, we're going to move into that.